The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
5 o'clock.
Morris steps in the water. There's money. Monte Morris. Jokic going to work on Looney, picked up two early fouls, and Jokic scores with a left hand. Thompson set up by Curry. Pass low. Here's Thompson again. Curry, and he's back. And it goes! And a chance at four for Stephen Curry!
Yeah, I mean, I told Nikola, I said, as frustrated as you are with the referees, and I feel his frustration, I really do. I think he's getting fouled, like he thinks he's getting fouled. He's not getting the call, but he has to find a way to play through that. You know, he's way too valuable, way too important for our team to be in the locker room watching the end of a game. And also, as a leader of this team, he's got to show guys in adverse times when things aren't going your way, you got to find a way to fight through it. Be mentally tough, and that's going to be a challenge for him moving forward. And same thing with Will DeMarcus. For me, I know it's coming from a good place and sometimes how you handle those situations, but we just have to find a way to be just more mentally tough and more poised when things went.
That's Will Barton talking about his fight with DeMarcus Cousins as Michael Malone is discussing having your poise. I assume he's not only talking about Jokic, Tyler. He's talking about amongst the teammates on the bench as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's talking to Will Barton. He's talking to Boogie Cousins. He's talking to Morris when you're tossing the ball at the goal at the post. What do you call it?
Stanchion.
The stanchion. When you do that because the Warriors scored a bucket, he's talking to everybody. Hey, keep your cool out there. You know, unfortunately, D-Mac, I don't think Phil Jackson could get the Nuggets to beat the Warriors in this series. I really don't think too much lands on Michael Malone, although I think it's fair to criticize. Like, it's fair to criticize, okay, it didn't work in game one. Why did you think the same lineup was going to work in game two? You went out there with the exact same five guys. You didn't make any initial adjustments, although he did over the course of the game. The lineup was different. He did a few things different, played guys more minutes here and there. But, you know, it's not working. I would say it's fair to criticize. Why not go out there and do something radically different in game three? I thought you should have done it in game two.
Well, let's go through it here in a second. But first, we want to thank our listeners and Conifer for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Jokic, how to make this series longer?
Hopefully we can kind of find a better flow defensively in offensively. We had too many breakdowns. Sometimes we just score and they just literally dribble and pull up three, and we know that's what they're going to do. So I think just probably be focused and not just to get flow back that we usually play.
All right, let's go through it. Did he get kicked out on purpose?
Maybe, probably. I'm not really sure. Yes. Okay, I'll go with yes. I think he did get himself kicked out. At least he knew what was going to happen, right? He knew the consequences. He didn't care. And really, I don't really care. If Nikola Jokic was the only storyline, that Nikola got kicked out of the game after the game was out of control, I wouldn't really care, D-Mac, but mm-hmm. it was a bigger picture deal. Everybody had something going on. Will Barton had some. Boogie Cousins had some. Morris had something. They all had something going on throughout that game that just said that their headspace, they were defeated. And Jokic getting himself kicked out at the end of the game, it was just a symptom of that.
Barton versus Boogie?
That one is going to happen. It's going to happen. You get a bunch of guys that are at the top of the world of what they do. And you know, you get into tense moments, you're going to have players fight. I'm not sure I ever made it through a season where I didn't have players fight. We had players fight on the Super Bowl team. Trust me, I won't go into all the stories, but we had players fight. It's usually what can come on the other side. And Shaq talked about it inside the NBA, and he said, you know, that can be a moment that brings the team together. That's true. It can be. Nuggets don't have time left for it to let them bring them together. So sadly, it's a big picture, just symptom of what's going on in that locker room where guys feel defeated.
Cousins was not employed by any team for the vast majority of the season. He was picked up on a couple of 10-day contracts that the Nuggets had to think about before being retained for, you know, this playoff push. Is he just at the end of the day more hassle than value?
He's exactly who you thought you were going to get. I wouldn't say that he's done anything with the Nuggets that you shouldn't have expected. So, Zaysha, when you brought Boogie Cousins in, you knew you were going to get a guy that was going to get a technical per game. About. And that's really about the way it works out.
The first game.
You know, yep. you knew you were getting a guy that was going to be in altercations with other players. And you signed him up, so you got exactly what you wanted. So I'm not even sure how to answer the question, because is he not worth the hassle on a lot of teams in the wrong role? No, he's not worth it. For the Denver Nuggets and the role that we asked of him, as long as you knew how to contain what he was supposed to bring to the table, mm-hmm. I think he could and he was a valuable member of this team for a while. It's just unfortunate that when front runners like Boogie, when things go south, unfortunately, they can really just instigate it and cause it to go further south.
Right. He's, when things are going fine, he's a lot of fun. Like you said, he sucks up a lot of air in the room. And when things go poorly, he's not the guy that's going to straighten that out. It's just not who he is.
You know my biggest concern with Boogie, though?
What?
What is his influence on Nikola Jokic?
I think it's big.
I do, too.
I think he has a big presence, period. And it dwarfs Jokic to a degree that Jokic just doesn't have a big... Jokic is working on his voice.
Okay.
Of all the skills that he has, he hasn't quite got that one down as a big-time leader. He's got all the big-time skills, but he's more of a reluctant leader. Jokic does not, like, speak up or really make more out of a situation than it is. He doesn't.
Nikola Jokic is the best basketball player in the world. He's an MVP. So he doesn't need to get any better at basketball, and he probably arguably doesn't need to get any better at leading. It's just, sadly, that can be a symptom when you're not naturally in that role. That's just not what you do. Like, I'm really good at playing basketball, but I'm not necessarily a leader. When you've got a guy like Boogie that comes around and you see that he gets attention for certain antics, I'm not saying that internally you're like, oh, I want to be like Boogie Cousins. But when you see him get attention or maybe guys respond to something he's done previously, I think that's kind of human nature, that when you're not an inherent leader, you will just be affected. Like, you kind of slowly morph into doing similar things.
I apologize, because sometimes my timelines get screwed up. Were you on the same team with Brian Dawkins and Champ Bailey?
I was.
Okay. Who was a more vocal guy, Brian Dawkins or Champ Bailey?
Oh, not even comparable. Crazy, right? Yeah, Champ Bailey talked at all. Brian Dawkins.
Who was a better football player?
Oh, they're both Hall of Famers.
But at the end of the day?
Well, Champ had the most influence on that team.
In a more quiet way.
In a more quiet way. Doc had the most influence in a vocal way. So, you know, I'm not sure who's a better football player. They're Hall of Famers.
My point is, I get it. Champ's like Nikola Jokic.
Yes.
He's like that. He's a Hall of Fame. He's got everybody's respect.
Like, if you want to compare it to the Super Bowl season, Champ was Von Miller. DeMarcus Ware was Brian Dawkins. So Doc was the vocal guy. And although that's not fair, I shouldn't say that, because Champ was at the end also, and he didn't need to become something that he wasn't. Vaughn kind of felt a responsibility to morph into DeMarcus Ware, right? And I think that Nikola Jokic, he's still young enough that he's still trying to find his identity.
He is.
Whereas Champ, he wasn't looking at Brian Dawkins like, I got to do anything like you. No, he was already Champ Bailey.
Tyler, Jokic repeatedly this year has been asked after a tough moment, and the Nuggets have had plenty of them, what was the mood in the locker room? What did you say? And his answer is, he doesn't say anything. It's just, it's not, and maybe it's the culture he comes from in basketball, that it's just not the players that talk, it's the coach. And perhaps that's just a different way of thinking things, where American players, that's just not the same.
Dude, man, can you imagine going and playing a sport in a different country that you didn't grow up in?
No, of course not.
And it's not your native language. Like, yeah, you're fluent, and yeah, like, you're funny. Nikola Jokic he's great with his English. He's hilarious. But, you know, it's not your home. That's got to be so hard to try to be a leader in an environment that is not your home.
And this is why I think you miss Jamal Murray for a lot of reasons. My impression, now this is tricky, because of all the Nuggets game I went to, which was all of them, Jamal Murray never spoke. So the one guy that I have a hard time getting a pulse on or to know his personality or how he relates to the other guys, seriously, is Jamal Murray. He just never spoke to the media. I just don't know. He didn't hang around. And there's not the interactions there used to be in the past, Tyler, where you'd just run into guys like in the locker room and you could sort of see how things were. It's just different. My thinking is, though, Jamal is the perfect complement to Nikola Jokic in terms of personality balance and leadership. And DeMarcus Cousins isn't. In fact, DeMarcus Cousins and Jokic were pretty bitter rivals there for quite a bit of time. And what I saw last night was just the wheels like falling off that probably were rubbing for a long time. And that's what I thought we saw in that interaction. But Jamal Murray specifically tweeted out after the game, quote, "Y'all don't think I want to be out there, huh? Crazy." Who is he talking to? What was he talking about?
I think the easiest answer is he's talking to the media. I told you guys yesterday this is what was going to happen. I didn't know that Jamal Murray was going to put out a tweet last night when I brought this up. But I said every day that goes by that the Nuggets continue to challenge Jamal Murray in a public forum, they're going to create more and more animosity between the organization and the player. And over time, that will add up. I didn't know that it was necessarily going to add up that night, but Jamal Murray is sick and tired of people telling him that he's healthy. He's sick and tired of it. He's sick and tired of listening to people in his organization say, "It's up to you, buddy." No, I mean, if I'm Jamal Murray at some point, I'm like, "Hey, fellas, you see me out here working. You see how hard I'm trying. And you watch it. I've done a lot of good things for this organization. And when I need you to have my back, you don't have my back. You're calling me out." So I'm not sure that he's gotten to the point where he's got animosity towards Tim Connelly and Michael Malone. If it continues, he will. He definitely has animosity towards the media, towards you and I, who are sitting here talking about this stuff, whether he's soft or not, whether he should be playing or not. I'm telling you, though, if the Nuggets don't address this and if they continue to go down this same road, eventually it will lead to a fracture between a superstar on your team mm-hmm. and the organization that potentially could be irrecoverable.
All right, here's some tough text. You ready? Jamal isn't a leader or he would be playing.
Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't even know how to respond to that one, D-Mac.
You can call it ridiculous.
I mean, how could you say that the guy, if he was a leader, he'd be playing? No, if he's healthy, he'd be playing. He doesn't think he's healthy.
Being from a different country hasn't prevented Giannis from being the leader on his team. I can't speak for the Bucks, but Giannis is an incredible player, and he seems like a fantastic leader. And by the way, Jokic is a leader. He is a leader. But he's a leader in a different way. He's got everybody's unbelievable respect. He is an incredible teammate. He is just not one of those guys that gathers everybody up in a room and gives a big speech. But DeMarcus Cousins is.
You know, if you're the best player on your team, you are the leader of your team. That's just the way it works. But not every leader of the team was born to be a leader. Some guys are just born to be the best players on their team. It just so happens to be that when you're the best, guys are going to follow you because they're going to look up to you. And, you know, the foreign country deal, that's certainly not to say that Nikola Jokic isn't doing an admirable job of being a leader for the Nuggets. I'm just saying, hey, that's like, think about that for a second. Put yourself in those shoes. Go to a different country. Do a job with people that you didn't grow up with. Their culture and their norms and all of that. And imagine how difficult that would be. I don't think that's insane or unfair to say that that's got to be a challenge for Nikola Jokic.
Let's see here. Jamal Murray, I'll take Tuesday, Papa Murphy's, order your pizza for pickup today. Jamal Murray will become the next Nolan Arenado if the Nuggets and fans aren't careful.
Yeah, that could happen.
Nuggets management hasn't equipped the team with enough athletic wing defenders, three-point shooters, solid defending, so it gets into X's and O's there. But that's the bigger moment, that he'll become the next Nolan Arenado from Andrew in Denver.
I 100% believe that. You know, we've got a text chain that we do before the show at night, whenever we feel like texting, and I was basically making that point, and you kind of responded with something along the lines of, well, they got the Supermax, they would never, ever trade him. Like, it's just not going to happen.
They would not.
Okay, yeah, they would never intend on it, but guess what? You never intend on trading a star player. Did the Spurs ever intend on moving on from Kawhi Leonard? No, it got fractured. It got to the point, By the way, over the exact same thing, Kawhi Leonard asked for a second opinion, a second medical opinion. The Spurs said, what are you talking about? You're healthy. Play basketball. Kawhi said, forget that. I'm not healthy. And now all of a sudden you had a fractured relationship that got extremely ugly. Nobody ever intends on trading away a star player. But if you let things like this continue, it will create a fracture that inevitably will, it'll surface. And whether that surfaces in a trade or it's just a dysfunctional locker room, if you don't address this stuff, it will be a problem.
Hot Take Tuesday, with the recent drama, including involving Jamal Murray, plus the emergence of Bones Highland, the Nuggets deem Murray expendable and trade him, and that massive contract. My guy Ray in Bailey.
Yeah, Murray feels real expendable right now, doesn't he? I mean, it really feels like the Nuggets got a fighting chance without Jamal Murray.
I love Bones Highland. Who doesn't? The energy, the excitement, the confidence is the story is amazing. He's not Jamal Murray. You are, with all due respect there, Ray and Bailey, you are not realizing who Jamal Murray has, at least has been, and hopefully will be again soon.
Game one against the Warriors. Game two against the Warriors is all the evidence that anybody would ever need that Jamal Murray is not expendable. They're not functioning without Jamal Murray at a competitive level.
All right, and we can lighten things up just a little bit here. And by the way, just Aaron Gordon, come on now. Come on now.
Watch the Kawhi Leonard.
How about AJ Will bringing up his money, by the way, with Aaron Gordon?
Remind me, what are you referring to?
He pointed out how much money Aaron Gordon's making, and you got to be better. Like $90 million.
Okay. All right. See, that's something that I'll never have beef with. When you want to have beef with a professional athlete because they're not performing at the level that you paid them, that's cool. That's totally cool. Hey, you're paying a guy $96, $98 million. I expect you to show up in the playoffs. I expect you to play at a high level. Now, I have a tough time when you make an assumption about a player that because they've got money, they could be healthy. I've got a tough time when you insinuate that a player is not being loyal to their team because they don't feel like they're capable of playing basketball. So, you know, the money comparison is fair when you're talking about performance, in my opinion.
I got something funny in a second. This is good. I don't know if it's funny. But I give my guy Mike Evans props because they had George Karl on this morning, and Mike noted a tweet that Karl put out there. First, it starts with DeMarcus Cousins in a story written by Mark Spears. Cousins is quoted as saying, "What did Sacramento do for me? Besides say my name on draft day, I did more for them than they did for me. That's just being honest. Just being 100% honest. I had two owners, three GMs, seven coaches in 7 years. I was there 7 years." George Karl responded on Twitter, "You were paid approximately $50 million and gave you the opportunity to play professional basketball for a living," and a couple of
George
silly emojis.
I see it, George. Man, he is. George has not been afraid to light a Twitter fire, has he? He went at it with Carmelo Anthony as well on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. His point at the money. What'd they ever do to me? Well, they paid you $50 million.
Okay, but With Boogie Cousins, there's history, right? So anytime somebody's got history of not loving the game, of being injured, of finding ways to not play basketball or not play football, it's always fair to talk about money in that case. Juwan James, that was not fair that the Broncos paid you, expecting you, that you actually wanted to play football. You didn't want to play football. So when the Broncos paid you, you actually did something that was morally wrong there. My issue with Jamal is that there's no history to go back on. And if we were to have this same issue 3-4 times in a row, moving into the future, I would say, okay, it's fair to talk about money.
Hey, by the way, on the Boogie Barton thing, who do you put the, I get it. It happens. Fights happen. I get it. I've heard it a million times, but who do you put that on?
Well, I don't know who said what, and I would assume that Boogie Cousins said something that ticked off Will Barton, right? Mm-hmm. But I put it on Will Barton because no matter what is said, you're in the middle of a playoff basketball game, and who was the actual aggressor? You know, Boogie might have said something that ticked him off, and that's fine. I get it. You responded. You're a human being. You're a male that got mad. No, I get all that, but if you watch the video, Boogie went out there and he dapped up Morris, and he wasn't even talking to Will Barton.
Michael Malone early in the year said he was, for like the ethical values of basketball, offended by how the, like, that's why he didn't start the Stars to start a second half.
Yeah, yeah.
Including Jokic.
He had to teach my principles of life.
There you go. Good memory. Principles of life. You got nothing to lose at this point, right? Based on the principles of life with basketball, should he bench both Cousins and Will Barton for the next game?
No. There's a point in the season where you could even teach grown men that are millionaires principles of life. When you're in the playoffs, you got to play the best players to give you an opportunity to win.
Okay.
So
just checking.
No, I mean,
We're not learning about principles of life now.
If you do that, just throw up the white flag and just quit. Just surrender.
Where are we here?
Seriously, if you're pulling out valuable players because you're mad at them, just throw up the white flag and say we quit.
Could you be benching
players?
And by
the way, definitely say that Jamal Murray is not coming back the rest of the playoffs if you're going to do something like that.
All right, but could that help rally the rest of the team? I mean, these are pretty radical approaches, but you can't just... Well, hold on a second. When the starting lineup came out, weren't you just surprised that there were no changes?
I was.
But there was nothing different?
I was surprised. I was disappointed. That didn't have anything to do with principles of life. If one of those two guys were the best options to be a starter, regardless of the principles of life in the playoffs, they should be starting. I was disappointed because you didn't make any adjustments to the smaller lineup that you had no defense for. Now you did as the game went on. That's not entirely fair, but the starting lineup didn't look different.
All right. I do have a funny thing, but I'll save it for Mount Palumbus Speak. I encourage others with Mount Palumbus Speak, 303-713-1043, but this is on the lighter side of principles of life with athlete-to-athlete contact. Perhaps inappropriate. That's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
It's going to be Darren in Aurora. Technically Centennial, but you know I'm Aurora for life. When is it appropriate for one athlete to touch another athlete on the butt?
Oh!
He doesn't need to do that. So that's what I just reacted. No need to do that.
Mount Palumbus, speak!
Well, I'm glad you asked this question, D-Bag, because I am a professional butt slapper of my friends.
I'm sorry, what?
I've slapped a lot of butts in my life, okay?
All right.
Lots of experience of getting my butt slapped. I've got a lot of experience of slapping other men's
buttocks. You realize if I was to slap your butt, I'd be giving you a high five.
Uh-huh. Yep. I mean, now, fortunately, you're not reaching in the front because that would that would be similar height, but that could be a problem. You know, it's funny because I do think that Nikola overreacted to that, but of course it was that butt slap. I mean, that was done with the intention of pointing in your face. Like, you see what just happened? When the opponent comes and slaps you on the butt after they do something cool, 100% that is a slap in the face. I'm not mad that Nikola was upset about it. I'm not even that mad that he reacted the way he did. But, you know, there's times in life where, you know, you slap your friend on the butt when they do something good, right?
Yeah.
You slap them on the butt when you got to wake them up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got to come out the gates here. Let's go.
Let's go.
Gordon, you know, slap in the face. Me on the football team, we would slap somebody in the butt on the way out the door, right?
All right.
I've been slapped on the butt by a coach after I've given up a sack. It was a different feeling.
Ouch.
It hurt a little bit more. It was a little bit more anger, a little bit more embarrassing, right? But no, you should probably never, ever slap your opponent's butt.
He doesn't need to do that. So that's I just reacted. No need to do that.
I love the way he says that. He doesn't need to do that. He's not wrong. I mean,
he doesn't need to do that.
No.
The opponent should never slap me on the
I thought butt. It was.
Okay, maybe there's bro code, though. Hold on, let's think about it. What if.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Gary Payton and Nikola Jokic, have they hung out in the offseason?
I doubt it. I don't know. I doubt it.
Do they have each other's phone numbers?
I have no idea. I don't know. I think so.
I think if you've got the guy's phone number, you could slap him on the butt.
I think if Gary Payton Jr. is interested in harness racing in Serbia, they may be connected. But other than that, that's what Jokic loves doing in the offseason.
But if you can't text the guy, you can't slap him on the butt.
Okay. Good standard. I've seen it in football where guys hit each other hard, right, on a clean tackle, and they'll get up and they'll kind of, you know, have that sort of moment. But what – do you remember when Jim Harbaugh had the hard handshake with coach? And the who was that coach that he had the hard handshake with? Oh, it was Lyons. It was the Lyons. It was
Campbell?
No. I want to say Linehan, but I don't think it was Linehan. It was Lions coach.
I do. I remember that incident.
Darn it.
I do remember that incident. I remember another one of those, by the way. Haley with Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
Remember when Haley did that to Josh McDaniels?
Yes, I do.
And he said to him, a lot of people are talking a lot of four-letter word about you in this league right now.
Oh, gosh darn it. Our texters will know. They're smart people. I swear to God, it was Jim Harbaugh and the Lions coach whose name escapes me right now. But the slapping, I've actually never seen what Payton Jr. did to Jokic. I actually have never quite seen that because it was kind of a casual butt tap.
I don't think I've ever seen it in a non-friendly manner.
Yeah.
Slide a kneecap off.
I've definitely seen guys pat the opponent on the butt. I've seen that happen many, many times. But they're your boy. They're somebody that you train with in the offseason.
Yeah.
They're somebody that...
Payton Jr. was passing Jokic.
I mean, I just want you to know that I am still a former football player, much like Gordon. Gordon's not wrong. Like, before I felt like I was ready to rock and roll for any given game, I did need to get hit. Like, I had to get through that first series, right? I can understand what Aaron Gordon's talking about. I just feel like we might do a better show if every day you slap me on the butt in the first segment.
I'm not doing that. Jim Schwartz.
Do you care about ratings? Want me to be at my best or not?
He doesn't need to do that.
I'm going to go with Jokic on that.
Can I slap you on your butt?
He doesn't need to do that.
Don't need to do that. Joel Dreesen, Jim Schwartz, thank you.
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't need to do that.
Okay. Bob Palumbo speak. Okay, hard one for you. We'll see. So, who looked better over the weekend / Monday? The Nuggets or Paxton Lynch? Russ and Lynch.
Mount Palumbus is a little confused on this one. I'm scratching my head. This is a tough choice right here. I mean, Paxton Lynch put out an epic all-time performance. He went 2 for 5. He had one interception, and he had 2 fumbles.
Yeah. QBR 1.7.
In the most literal sense, it's hard to do any worse than that. Like think in the most literal sense, it's hard to do any worse than what Paxton Lynch did.
Yeah.
I will say the Nuggets were leading by 11 points at one point last night. 12 points?
12 points
yeah. last night. Yeah. Nuggets have definitely looked a little bit better than Paxton Lynch's all-time terrible performance. How do you choose? That's a tough question, though. I mean, you know, now we're asking the tough questions in life.
He doesn't need to do that.
I can't believe it's basically over. You know, there was part of me, and we can think of jerry-rigging everything, and you can do this, and you can do that, and Jamal feels this and that, this, the other thing. At the end of the day, you just look at it and go, hey, you know what? Jokic, you're the MVP. You got to play like it. Aaron Gordon, you got to come up with 15 to 18 points somehow. And you know what? Bryn Forbes was actually fine for, I mean, you know, they really trotted him out there 24 minutes. He needs to have 3 for 6, 2 for 5 from three. He needs to have that in about 12 minutes, something like that.
If Nikola Jokic had 10 straight matchups against Draymond,
oh,
how many games is Nikola Jokic walking away saying, I definitely won that battle?
4.
Really? You think he'd lose 6 out of 10?
Mm-hmm. I think Draymond Green is Hall of Fame defender. I think he is unusually good.
I disagree because I think that an MVP, he hasn't necessarily faced Draymond Green before. It's overwhelming right now, but I do believe an MVP, over time, he would win more battles than Draymond. And I get it. You're saying he's an MVP of defense. Okay.
He's unbelievable. I can't believe how good he is.
Well, I guess maybe you disagree. Then my point was going to be, I think Jokic would win probably the other way around, 6 or 7 of his own, that he's going to be winning it. So would I be shocked if Nikola Jokic went out there, put up 40 points, had an MVP game, and the Nuggets won Game 3 at home?
No,
because you got an MVP on your team. Do I expect that to happen? No.
But let's face it, like Michael Malone pointed out, and they were down 6 at halftime, but they did have a lead, and they had a 12-point lead. And Michael Malone said, we can't fight just for 24. We have to fight for 48. So it's not wild. It's not insane. It's not undoable. It just feels incredibly unlikely, and the way they fell apart just is so discouraging. But, hey, Tyler, it's not like they haven't been down in a series before. I get it. It was in the bubble, but they were down twice, 3-1 in one series to get to the Western Conference bubble final. I do know that they are 0-10 in series where they're down 2-0. So the odds are they're not with them. But you know what? We should enjoy it while we have it because it could be gone relatively quickly. And then we are on to next year, which is the favorite slogan the Nuggets fans have heard for years and years and years. Game balls, we're giving away next.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Interstate love song, baby.
Feeling like I have been round here for great, my open up your mind today.
You sound good. Just keep going. You want to do the whole thing?
I can do it. Keep going. Turn it up a little bit, KJ.
Feeling and the time is going to tears, but I choose to slap my butt and I get mad.
Slapping butts.
I'm your kid.
There we go.
Are we really going to do the whole thing?
Oh, is that good?
You should probably fade it out. Like, nobody really wanted him to do the whole thing. Hey, I don't know where you're going, but I'm going to hijack it really quick.
I got something good. So go ahead.
Well, you said something in the last segment that I was thinking about it during the break. It really, really surprised me. I asked you if Nikola Jokic played Draymond Green 10 straight times.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those matchups would Nikola Jokic definitively win? You said 4.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola is the MVP. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan. I'm not saying he's LeBron James. But would Michael Jordan ever lose 6 out of 10 matchups to anybody? Would LeBron James ever lose 6 out of 10 matchups to anybody? And is that a damning statement about Nikola Jokic that you believe that?
It is not. Because as good as he is, as much as we love him, Nikola Jokic is not LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, or some of the other great players. Not yet. He has a way to go to reach that legacy. However, is he the most valuable player in this league this year, again, as he was last year? Absolutely. It just so happens that he is facing a little bit of his kryptonite. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I mean, Draymond Green is 6'6". Jokic has him in every which way but loose. But Draymond Green is just that good. So what can I tell you? I've seen Jokic dominate guys taller than him, bigger than him all the time. And for whatever reason, Draymond Green just has a way. Can't explain it.
It just feels weird. That feels weird to say an MVP would lose 6 out of 10 And style of play probably contributes to that a lot. Michael Jordan, yeah, he could get guys open. He would pass. He had Scottie. I get it. He'd dish the rock around, but he wasn't a pass-first guy. Like, that wasn't what he was trying to do. Nikola Jokic's style of play definitely contributes to that.
By the way, so I am watching Winning Time on HBO with the Lakers. And I know it's taken some criticism, but I'm sucked into it, so I'm watching it. And they showed the first professional game, Lakers against Bird, in Boston. They had played before in L.A., but this was their first time they matched up in Boston, and the Lakers ended up winning the game. It got me so interested in the game. Like, while I'm watching the TV show, I'm like, did this really happen? I found a replay of the actual game from, like, 1980, January of 1980. Brent Musburger's on the call, and I'm watching the game. Basketball in the early 80s. Tyler, let me tell you something. The teams of today would take both the Celtics and the Lakers of that time and wipe the floor with them by like 100 points.
Dude, but tell me a sport that that's not true.
Okay, fine.
For real.
But my point being is that things have just changed so dramatically that I can't even imagine what Jokic would do if he was playing in that era, because you just didn't see big man do those type of things. So it's hard sometimes to compare era to era. Would Jordan do this, or would he do that, or this, that, the other thing? Well, Michael Jordan didn't have to face a team that was hitting 45% from three-point line.
No, but I think it's fair to talk about an MVP and what the expectation is about the MVP. So I'm not saying it's an apples-to-apples conversation. No, Jordan isn't even a comparable player to Nikola Jokic. I mean, I guess we got to talk about Kareem. We got to talk about centers if we want to have an apples-to-apples conversation. But the point is, an MVP, you should have the ability to win the majority of your matchups against the same guy. And I think I happen to disagree with you, for the record.
I don't know.
I think Jokic would win the majority. If he had 10 matchups, right. I think he would win 6 out of 10.
Well, how do you think Draymond Green would do against Embiid? Or how would he do against Giannis, or that sort of thing? I mean, he's an elite defender. He's one of the best defenders in the league. You know,
okay. I mean, elite on elite. Let's hope it's at least 50-50.
You know what? Thursday night, let's see.
Yeah.
You know, maybe prove me wrong. Because right now, it's 0-2.
What did you have that was good? I hijacked you. What did you have that was good?
Kyler Murray is going to hold out, apparently, and Jimmy Garoppolo is as well, from OTAs. And you are seeing pockets of the NFL. We think everything is shiny, happy people here in Denver. But you've got little pockets of discomfort in the NFL. And I wonder, Tyler, if Kyler Murray is going to big bully boss his way out of the Cardinals or get a gargantuan new contract.
Well, he's going to get his what he really wants is money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, he'll get his money. Whether that's with the Arizona Cardinals or whether that's with the Seattle Seahawks or the Carolina Panthers. I'm not sure. By the way, the Panthers and the Seahawks, they're probably drooling right now because all of a sudden Kyler might be an option when they were stuck talking about Baker Mayfield.
And by the way, with Murray, it's not just Murray. It's a collection of the veteran teammates with the Cardinals that are training separately from the facility.
Okay.
How about that?
That's a little bit of a different story. I mean, Kyler is away because he's a malcontent right now. That's why he's away, because he's trying to get paid. I would guess that Arizona's going to pay him. I mean, can you? You're the Arizona Cardinals. Can you really trade away Kyler Murray? I don't think so. But you know what? Players have got more power than they ever have before. So if his goal is to get out of Arizona, he will get what he wants because players are getting what they want nowadays.
That was it. Oh, and Garoppolo.
Oh, Jimmy, that one's more interesting to me, though.
Yeah, I mean,
what, I don't know what Jimmy's doing. Go to work, man. I mean, if you go to, all you got to do is show up to work, and you're going to win the starting job. Where else are you going to go that you're going to have the starting job? I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo is a malcontent right now. If he wants to be traded, he should want to be exactly where he is, because you will be the starting quarterback of the 49ers. D-Mac, the Rockies have good players.
They're 7-3.
At least they think they've got good players,
well,
that's for sure. How do I know that the Rockies think they've got good players, D-Mac? Well, because they just paid one of their players. Kyle Freeland, Colorado's own, out of Thomas Jefferson High School, just got a 5-year, $64.5 million contract.
That is awesome.
That makes him the highest paid pitcher that the Rockies have had since Mike Hampton, who signed a $121 million deal more than 2 decades ago. Kyle Freeland, man, he's had two appearances this year. He's given up five runs in each of them. He's responsible for two of the three losses the Rockies have got, but apparently the Rockies believe in him, D-Mac. You know, it was always a goal of mine. As a player, I just wanted to get a GM fired. You know, somebody pay me so much money that you get fired because you were an idiot that paid Tyler Plumbus.
Right.
I'm not saying Kyle Freeland's going to get someone fired, but I am going to say I don't really understand how he got the contract. But I respect dudes that get paid. I respect that you found a way to get it. I don't know what the Rockies' plan is. I don't know what the rush was to extend him. But you know what? Good for you, Kyle Freeland.
Nice.
Because this is baseball, and you're going to get all $64.5 million of that. D-Mac.
Yes.
What's happening right now?
What do you mean?
Do we have Nick and Cecil?
I don't know.
What do we got going on here?
Are you hanging out with Nick? I don't know. We were told that Cecil is going to cut it close due to traffic, and everybody should stick around and find out.
Well, we're going to find out. And if you guys need me to say, good evening, Colorado in the Rocky Mountain region.
Well, you just did.
What is up? I could do that for you, but I'd rather listen to you do that.
Wow.
So I hope we get to listen to D-Mac do that coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Plumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.